You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to racing at Warwick, Market Rasen and Naas. Three meetings to bring you then on Racing Radio on Sunday. You can hear all the action live in the company of Alex Dunn, Paddy Aspel and John Budden on Sunday afternoon. But my name is Sam Norris and joining me on today's edition of the podcast, Mr. Ollie Pimlott. How are you, Ollie?
Hello, Sam.
Are you well?
I'm not too bad.
Good. Just days away, Ollie, from the...
Yes, not long away at all
from
now.
...from the Fez.
For Wolverhampton, I think it's Tuesday, isn't it?
Yes. Well, it will soon be that. I do like that Monday meeting at Stratford because
it's not what it was, though, Sam. I've been the last few years.
Right.
And they used to get a lot of Irish folk coming over for that when it's a three-day festival.
Right.
But obviously now when it's 4 days, you're a little bit tired by Friday evening. So a lot actually go to...
Some of those boys do Galway, though, don't they?
Yeah. Which is, but a lot go to Toxteter now instead for the Midlands National.
Very good. Looking forward to the festival, Ali?
Well, how can you not look forward to the Olympics of National Hunt Race? And obviously, this year, it's just been plagued by injuries, hasn't it? Every day, we seem to have another horse coming out. Finian's Rainbow.
Finian's Oscar.
Finian's Oscar. Another Finian's Rainbow past.
Yes.
Festival winner, of course. But Finian's Oscar coming out of the Neptune. And that's going to mean Neon Wolf's going to harden up, given the good weather forecast now. And... you know, the race looking easier and easier by the day with all these non-runners coming out of both the Supremes. So another horse coming out of the Supreme, of course, is Moonracer.
Yes, who goes for the champion hurdle instead, Ollie?
He does. Well, I don't think he'd have won a Supreme Novices hurdle. So if you're not going to win
that
a Supreme
logic, you don't
hurdle,
fancy him for the champion.
Logic, but you would argue, you know, the Supreme is very, very competitive this year and the champion hurdle is below par with Yanworth, the 11-4 favourite, Bouvardaire, 4-1, he was placed in the Supreme last year. Petit Mouchoir has been rejuvenated this season, 11-2. And then we've got Brain Power. Don't really know where we stand with him. He's been winning handicaps. Moonracer 9s. You just look at that race and it's not a good race, is it?
No, it's not a vintage champion hurdle. No. But we're arguably missing the two best horses over hurdles in Fahin and Annie Power.
And Annie Power aren't there. The more I think about this race, the more I think it's Yanworth to lose.
Were you disappointed with the manner that he won at Wincanton? It wasn't a sexy victory, it was hard work.
You get the indication from Alan King that there's one target.
Right.
That is the champion hurdle. They put the cheap pieces on just to try and help him a little bit. But there's going to be a lot of pace on here. Petit Mouchoir is going to be took on by the new one. I wouldn't be surprised what they did in the Christmas hurdle with My Tent or Yours. And he basically pacemaked and tried to disrupt the new one. I wouldn't be surprised if they do that again. They'll go a quicker gallop as possible to set it up for the stay of Yanworth. And, you know, if his jumping holds up, I think he's a good favourite. No.
Okay. Yanworth 11-4 then for the champion hurdle, the feature race on the Tuesday of Cheltenham. Let's discuss matters over the weekend then, Ollie. We're recording this around about nearly an hour actually, after the Imperial Cup at Sandown, which went the way of London Prize. Before we discuss London Prize and his victory in the race, it's not quite what it was, is it?
No, it's not vintage. I mean, it used to be worth 100 grand or something to the winner. It's now worth 39. The top weight is rated 137 or 138, I think the second was rated. So that's not going to barely get you into a race at the Cheltenham Festival, even with a penalty. If the likes of London Prize, I would be very surprised if he takes up an engagement at Cheltenham. I would be surprised if he's even entered.
Mm.
So even with a £7 penalty, he would struggle to get in a race, which, of course, we used to have a Gaspara being one where the pipes used to target the race. Obviously, Max to Brazil was very disappointing, but there used to be that big bonus. But, you know, it just seems to be even harder to do, you know, getting a horse to one race, never mind two, in the space of a couple of days, as we've seen in this season. So, yeah, it's not quite the race that it once was.
No, but London Prize, though, suitably impressed with that victory, aren't
you? Yeah, very impressed. I know he didn't win by a huge margin in the end, but he was just idling in front. And Ian Williams, I think he must have been listening to us, because looking at his Twitter feed, his car had broken down on the way to the track and didn't make it to see it.
Blimey.
So one of the biggest wins of his career, Ian Williams, and he was stuck on the motorway. But well done to him. He's had an outstanding season, both over jumps and on the all-weather. And he's an excellent, excellent trainer. Of course, got all those Kukash horses back on the flat as well.
Yes, correct. Nice win for London Prize then, who landed the Imperial Cup at Sandown on Saturday. We'll move on to look at some of the racing from Sunday then. We've got four picked out, two from Warwick, one from Nace and one from Market Raisin to bring you. We begin at Warwick, though, with their 250. We start with a Mare's Chase. This is a novice's limited handicap. It's a Class 3 event over 2.5 miles. Got a field of six who go down to post for this one. Who's on your mind for the Warwick 250?
Very competitive. Very competitive, this. Decent prize money on offer, just a little bit under 10,000 sterling to the winner. And six turn-ups, Sam, and all six you would give a chance to, must be said. Timon's Tower is likely to be the outsider, but even the Robin Dickin runner, who's Robin Dickin, I think he's had his most winners ever, or for a long time this season, of course. Thomas Crapper, we last saw him winning well.
Rolled back the years,
and he'll be turning up once again at the Cheltenham Festival. So, I mean, you couldn't even rule her out, the outside of the field. I thought this was competitive. I was just going to go with Song Sar, though, the top weight. Bids for a hat-trick. Won 10 lengths at Leicester last time. Has gone up £12 for that, but Noel George, the trainer's son, offset £7 of it. He's a good rider, this lad. We've seen his good effect on both Aloffy and Big Fella Fanks in hunter chases, so I think he's good value for his 7 off the top weight and offsets £7 of that £12 rise. And it's hard to ignore an informed mare. The other one to mention is Buttercup. She's another last time out winner. She did take advantage of the handicapper's leniency on that occasion. She dropped down the handicap. She's gone up £6 for that win at Toaster last month. And you wouldn't be surprised to see her go close again. But Song Sar, she just might be a cut above these. I know she's gone up £12 for that Leicester romp last time. But Noel George, I think he's Noel George, isn't he?
Pass. I'm not sure. I'll have to take your word for it, Oliver. Mr. George.
Mr. George takes £7 off. And as I say, we've already seen good effect in Hunter Chase on both Aloffy, good horses, and Big Fella Thanks. And, you know, he offsets £7 that £12 penalty, and she just could well be a cut above these. And she's a son of a daughter of Midnight Legend. You ask Andrew Mount, our colleague, about Midnight Legends. This is their time of year, March to May. To a level stakes profit is huge.
All right.
When backing sons and daughters of Midnight Legends, so that's another tick in the right box.
Okay, Song Sar then gets the selection for Olina 250 at Warwick, bidding to get the hat-trick up for Tom George. We stay at Warwick for the next race on today's podcast. This is the 355. It's a Class 3 handicap chase. 3 miles and 5 furlongs is the trip. Good bit of prize money on offer here as well. 11.2 grand to the winner. And it's attracted a pretty competitive field as well, Ali.
Yeah, I think Azure Fly is going to go off favourite again, as he usually does. But he doesn't win this horse, Azure Fly. He's a great one for the place pot because he's never out the front three, but he doesn't win. So when you've got Azure Fly at favourite, you've got to try and find a little bit of value. Now, Rigaudan de Beauchesne, you know, he is a veteran now at the grand old age of 12, but a soft ground marathon test is right up his street, and this is exactly what it'll be at Warwick tomorrow. And he runs off his lowest mark since winning the Classic Chase. That was over course and distance back in 2013. So, you know, soft ground, Venetia Williams, you know, former winner of the Classic Chase. Rigaudan de Beauchesne, as I say, he's a 12-year-old, but runs off near enough a career low in recent years, off a mark of 123. So don't be surprised if the old boy runs a big race. But I'm going to go with Abbey Gray. He chased her in Pearl Swan at Foss Lass. That was 3 weeks ago. We all know Foss Lass takes a good bit of getting. It was hock deep that day, and certainly shaped as though this step up in trip would suit. He also holds Horatio Hornblower and Before All on that evidence. They were behind him on that occasion. So Abbey Gray, who's nicely weighted with a weight of 10 stone 8, for Adam Wedge and Evan Williams in the marathon at Warwick.
Abbey Gray then gets the nod for Ollie in that 3.55 race at Warwick. We go across the Irish Sea now over to Nace for their 3.45, which is the feature race on the card at Nace on Sunday. This is a novice's chase. It's a grade 3 novice's chase over 2.5 miles. And most of these runners, Ollie, wouldn't look out of place at Cheltenham next week. And
it's surprising that a lot of these aren't turning up to Cheltenham. Yeah. Unsurprisingly, though, 4 of the 5 runners running Mr. O'Leary's Jigginstown House stud colours.
Yeah, he'd be disappointed if he didn't have the winner of this one.
Yeah, he would be. The only JP McManus has the other runner. He has Oscar Knight in the field, and he's likely to be probably one of the outsiders, Oscar Knight, probably along with Almain. But I'm going to go with Baldark. I mean, off a mark of 144, I thought they'd have took a chance at the Cheltenham Festival. Mm. He was one of the few Jiggenstown house runners where you thought, you know, he actually looks to be given a fair mark at Cheltenham. He stays at home. Obviously, Gordon Elliott is trying to bid for a first trainer's title, and there's €20,000 to the winner here, so that's going to be significant. They are, you know, really supporting Gordon Elliott. The Jiggenstown House stood, of course, they fell out with Mullins last year over training fees. So it would be a, you know, you'd think they'd want to back Gordon Elliott to try and win this. And the fact that Baldark hasn't gone over for a Cheltenham handicap, he can test this race, is interesting. Gangster has got cheap pieces first time. He's got to go close as well for Henry de Bromhead, who's another who's done really well with the Jiggenstown House colour, horses he's picked up. And Alamein is deserted by Brian Cooper in favour of the Flying Bolt winner, Baldark. So, you know, Alamein, you couldn't rule out he was a winner last time out when slamming the useful Discosimo. That was a couple of weeks ago at Fairy House. So we've got five runners, Sam, but all of them could have an each way, not an each way, a win.
Yes.
A win chance. I'm just going to go with Baldark, though, because he could have gone to Cheltenham. He won the Flying Bolt, Baldark. That is a real good race in Ireland. And Brian Cooper, you know, he's had four to choose from, and he's chosen him.
Significant that he gives Baldark the nod, I think.
So in quite a tricky little race, you wouldn't be surprised if any of these won it. I just think the fact Brian Cooper's decided to ride this horse, won its last two starts, clearly in good nick. And, you know, mark of 144, I'm surprised they didn't go to Cheltenham. But £20,000 on offer here. I think Baldark can give Gordon Elliott another winner in his quest for the Irish trainer's title.
Baldark, the selection then at Nace for the 3:45. Gordon Elliott and Brian Cooper teaming up with that one. We go to market raising them for the final race on today's podcast. This is the 4:10. It's a handicap hurdle over an extended 2 miles and 7 furlongs. A Class 3 race with 6 of them lining up. What did you make of this one?
Well, if Harry Whittington added string in better order, I would have gone with A Fair Donair, Sammy. Mm. But in recent months, he's not been banging in the winners as he would have liked, Harry Whittington. The last 14 days, he's just had 2 runners. None of them have placed. In the last 12 months, let's have a look. 30 chase starts, 5 wins. 72 hurdle starts, 7 wins. But over the last 2 or 3 weeks, well, even the last 2 months, he has really struggled, Harry Whittington. So I would have gone with A Fair Donair, but their string aren't in the greatest of form here. So instead, I'm going to go with Agamemnon. Fans of Classical Civilization, if you did that at school. Did you do that at school, Sam?
No, I didn't know.
The Classical Civilization. This son of Getaway. Getaway's made a good start as a stallion, a National Hunt stallion. Handicap debut when he improved second at Kempton last time. So this is only his second start in a handicap. Comes from the excellent Tom Lacey stable. We'll hear a lot more about this young trainer in coming seasons. With Tom Scudamore booked, you know, it showed a hell of a lot more on its handicap debut at Kempton last time. I think it can go one better here. So in the 4:10 at market raising, I'm going to go with Agamemnon.
Thank you very much. Ollie's pick then in the 4:10 at market raising. Just give us a quick spin through, please, if you wouldn't mind, Ollie, your 4 selections for the races we've looked at on Sunday.
2:50 at Warwick, Song Sar for Team George. In the 3:55 at Warwick, I'm going to go with Abbey Gray. The 3:45 at Nace, I go with the Flying Bolt winner, Baldark. And in the last race we looked at, the 4:10 at Market Raisin, my selection is Agamemnon.
Thank you very much. There we are, the thoughts of Ollie Pimlott ahead of the races on Sunday. You can hear all the action live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Alex Dunn, John Budden and Paddy Aspel in the studio. Thanks for that, Ollie. Enjoy the action on Sunday and indeed the festival next week.
You enjoy yourself, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.